Thank you for attending today. We'll begin with our agenda at 9:30. We have the Rockies Express Pipeline Project. Alan Foer. Alan? I bet you didn't think there would be this many people here just for your presentation.
No, I didn't.
And the cameras were all here for the...
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for giving us a few moments today to talk about Rockies Express Pipeline. My name is Alan Foer, and I manage our public affairs efforts for the overall Rockies Express project. I have a couple of other gentlemen with me here today, Stephen Lane, who's our local counsel, and Matt Hammond, who's our community representative for Ohio. Do they have the packets, Matt? Okay. I just wanted to give you a brief project overview. We had a chance to meet with Commissioner Fox a few months ago to give him a briefing, but we've tried to, in fact, this week we'll have completed meetings with all of the county commissioners in all of the counties affected by the project throughout the state of Ohio. So we wanted to have a chance to in a public setting, for you to hear our overall project summary, where we are in the project, and be available to answer any questions you might have. A Rockies Express pipeline is a 42-inch natural gas pipeline. It's about 1,650 miles long, one of the largest pipeline projects of its kind in the history of the country, designed to transport natural gas where it is plentiful in the Colorado-Wyoming reserves, throughout the Midwest and into the eastern United States. As you know, the federal government has made a priority on investing in domestic energy sources, and natural gas is one of those, obviously made in America and staying in America, and not subject to issues that might come into effect with petroleum and other sources that come from overseas. This is a $4.5 billion project. It is a joint venture between three companies with a long history in the energy business and the pipeline business, Kinder Morgan Energy, Sempra Energy, and ConocoPhillips. Particular to Butler County, we're going to be crossing around 31.6 miles through Butler County. I think you can see on your map that's been provided to you, and it's also available on our website at rexpipeline.com. Our proposed route through Butler County. The first part that we do is after the proposed route. And let me just back up and say that this project is governed by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission during the construction process. Once the pipeline is online, it will be governed by the U.S. Department of Transportation Office of Pipeline Safety. So we are following all of FERC's requirements in the pre-construction process. And where we are in the project, the project is really divided into three different phases. On the back of this brochure, there's a green, a red, and a blue section. We are in the blue section, the Rex East. The green section, Rex Entrega, is already flowing natural gas. Rex West, if the FERC certificate is granted for construction, will begin construction in the next 30 to 60 days. And on the east, which affects Butler County in Ohio, we are in the pre-filing stage of that process, and we hope to file for our certificate within the next 60 days. If the federal government, the Energy Regulatory Commission, determines that there's a public necessity for this line, we would begin construction sometime in the spring of 2008. I say the process is governed by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. We are also obligated to abide by state and local regulations regarding permitting, and I know our permitting team has had a meeting with your county engineer and discussed some preliminary talks about whatever permits we need to apply for road crossings or water crossings or otherwise. We also work with the Ohio Department of Natural Resources for guidelines that they recommend for construction as well. In the process of determining the route for the pipeline, we work individually with landowners, and there are approximately 260 tracts of land that we will be crossing in Butler County. And we seek survey permission from each one of the landowners in order to determine by site, basically a physical determination, whether this route that we have proposed by aerial and topographical research, if this is an appropriate route for the line. and working with the landowners if it is determined that it is, and we seek their cooperation and permission to enter their land. We've had about 95% of the landowners that are affected by this property have granted us permission so far to have access to their property to determine whether the line can actually be on their property. And we work with the landowners. If there's a uniqueness to the property, they want us to try to avoid some trees, they want us to try to be in a certain part of the property, we'll do that the best that we can. Obviously, this is a 42-inch steel pipeline, and it can't make 90-degree turns, but we can make adjustments to try to accommodate landowners whenever possible. Once the survey is complete, we will ask for a 50-foot, an option for an easement. We'll ask for a 50-foot permanent easement for the line and a 75-foot temporary construction easement. The permanent easement would be for the life of the line. The 75 feet would be a temporary construction easement to construct the pipeline, which we would ask for probably around 6 to 8 months. Once the pipeline is constructed and buried, the land that the pipeline occupies, the surface, can basically be used for the previous purposes, except for permanent structures. Long-rooted trees cannot be constructed there because of our need to have access to the line in the future and the long-rooted trees possibly affecting the integrity of the line. But bike paths, bushes, fences, crops, even roads can be built over the line. So we do our best to restore the, and we're obligated by FERC to restore the property to the pre-existing condition as much as reasonable. And then we're responsible, again, for the maintenance and operation of the line throughout the life as governed by the U.S. Department of Transportation. So that's kind of a brief overview of the project. And again, we want to be very open about our process. Again, we have our website, rexpipeline.com, which has maps of each county. It has a considerable amount of documentation about the project. We have a full-time office in Columbus, Ohio. It's really the central hub of our operations for REXT East. We have about 70 employees there who deal specifically with environmental issues, construction, right-of-way, safety issues. Each individual landowner that is affected and your constituents that are affected by this project has been and will receive an individual consultation from an agent. When we do negotiate for the price on the property for the easement, that will be an individual negotiation. We will do a market analysis of Butler County to determine the fair market value, but each individual property is unique, and they'll have a one-on-one negotiation. So there's no blanket set amount that we offer individuals for access to their property. We'll negotiate individually with each landowner. Again, if FERC does grant us the certificate for construction, we would plan to have the pipeline begin construction in the late spring of 2008, and hopefully be completed by the end of 2008, the beginning of 2009. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Commissioner, any questions?
Do you work with the county engineer when you do these?
Yes. We've had a preliminary meeting. I know our permitting team has met with him, and we'll have many, many meetings over the course of the next year and a half. Again, we are obligated and required to work with all the governmental entities and jurisdictions that we pass through and to abide by your specific regulations, particularly as regarding to road crossings. I know that's been a big issue. And generally, we're going to bore underneath those so there won't be any impact on the road itself and transportation and traffic. But we will be continuing to have those meetings. We have a team of permitting team that actually deals with that and, of course, paying any permit fees and all of those types of things along the way as well.
Alan, thank you for your presentation. I have a couple of concerns. One is, have you talked to individual township trustees with regards to going across their jurisdictions?
We will. We've had some meetings with individual townships. I know we had a couple in Warren the other day, and we're happy to meet with those in a setting like this, in a public setting. But again, our permitting team, and it's still relatively early in the process because we won't be needing the permits until really construction in 08. But this year in the spring and over the next few months, our teams will be meeting with any jurisdiction that has a particular requirement for passing through their jurisdiction, and we'll work with them to abide by whatever restrictions and regulations they have.
And
those meetings may not have taken place yet, but they will.
On Chuck's question about working with the engineer,
yes,
you know, with a pipeline of this nature, we need to have a real good crystal ball as to what the future is going to look like. Notwithstanding the roads that are two lanes now, could be four lanes in the future. So, you know, when you're boring underneath, you need to make sure that you take it back far enough that could accommodate four lanes, and I'm sure Greg Wilkins will work with you on that.
Absolutely.
The other thing is that I remember when, as mayor of Hamilton, when we were talking about the development of Hamilton West shopping area, which is now very successful with a number of businesses, you know, there's a strip right through it with Texas Gas pipeline, mm-hmm. that, you know, if we had foreseen a long time ago about economic development, you know, we could have moved that in some way. You know, once this pipeline goes in, it's going to affect future development, as you say, structures and things like that on a 50-foot swath that could affect acres of land.
Mm-hmm.
Do you take that into consideration, or do you, and Mike, maybe this is a question, Mike Inc., for you with the master plan of the county, that we take that into consideration and also talk to the, you know, as different townships talk about their economic development and their future growth, that is of utmost concern, that we don't be, you know, our future commissioners sometime in the future say, oh, God, why did they put it here?
Right.
That's a question that we don't want to have asked. So that's why I think it's important that we make sure we're trying to look in that crystal ball and determine what's the best placement for this gas line.
Right, and very good points, Commissioner. And it's in our best interest, too, we're required to do it by FERC, but also it's in our best interest to work with your officials and township and other officials regarding your planning, because the last thing we would want to need to do down the road is to have to modify or change the pipe. That'd be a great expense to the company. So if we can determine ahead of time plans and future growth, and I was talking to our some of our folks this morning, and we've made several adjustments in the route already in Butler County because of just that, planned subdivisions, other things that are actually planned. Now, we can't, we don't know what's going to happen 30 or 40 years down the road, but if there's a realistic estimate of something happening in a particular area, it's in both of our best interests to take that into account and make an adjustment before the line goes into the ground. A number of townships we have worked with in other counties and other states, it's important to FERC to hear from townships and county engineers and others, because they do take into account. I mean, one of the things that determines, and ultimately they determine the route, we propose it, they finalize it, the FERC has required very much over construction of previous gas lines, Panhandle, Texas Eastern, the public communication and input part of the project of pipeline construction is much different than it used to be and much more scrutinized. And part of that is, how well have you worked with the local governments and local government entities and state governments in what they think is best and what they think is necessary for the successful and safe operation of this line? So that is given great deference. So it's very important to us to get that, all of that up front, to talk with your officials, to talk with township officials, and we have been doing that. We'll be doing a lot more of that over the next several months.
Great. Thank you.
Jerry had a comment. Jerry, did you want to?
Yeah, just a quick comment. Good morning. My name is Jerry Garrett. I'm the utility manager for the Butler County Engineers Office.
Okay. Okay. Can we, after I'm done here, can we talk? Okay, great.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions? Mike, do you have anything?
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, Alan,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we get into the next presentation from the Children's Services Task Force, we'll do communications.
First would be approved minutes from the last meeting, approved travel and training, pay adjustment for CSEA attorney, extend health care benefits, domestic relations court manager, accept resignation and termination. Under county engineer, receive and refer bridge replacement contract, advertise for bids for various county roads, authorize prosecuting attorney to commence legal action for gas transmission line award contract.
Timely.
Timely. Not their company, though. 7-1M for Morgenthaler Road Bridge to Contact Bridge Solutions. Cancel 3 sidewalk performance bonds for falling waters. Under Environmental Services, water and sewer extension of Avalon Station Section 2. Accept letter from Duke Energy agreement for use of easement for sanitary sewer line. Approve change order for Upper Mill Creek. Approve agreement for PCS Tech for professional engineering services for Liberty Fairfield Pump Station. Agreement with Netcasters for license for train caster software web-based course. Agreement with Avid Digital Communication Group to provide marketing and design concepts. Water and sewer extension to Avalon Station Section 1. Approve transfers and appropriations. Under Job and Family Services, approve 3 child daycare contracts. Award lease contract to Midwest Center for job center location. Award contract for transportation services to Winton Transportation. Approve contract with Winton Transportation. Receive and refer bids for child care family co-payment contract. Receive and refer bids for workforce investment youth program services. Under miscellaneous, award bid for care facility pharmaceutical services. Accept resignation of Robert Young from Butler County Rural Zoning Commission. Approve 4 new money issue bond issues. Approve contract with Butler County Juvenile Rehab and Ronald E. Ashford for haircutting services. Approve and execute contract with Skilled Care Pharmacy for pharmaceutical services for Butler County Care Facility. And receive and refer bids for Butler County Airport ramp rehabilitation.
There's no changes or modifications. I move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
And Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes. Thank you. Next, we'll move into Butler County Children's Services Task Force. Dan?
Good morning.
Morning.
And on behalf of the task force, I'd like to thank the commissioners for the opportunity to serve the citizens of Butler County. And I'd also like to thank you for letting us do our job. At your seat, you have a binder, which is our report to you. And what I would like to just mention is the other day I delivered the Fountain Works report. There's one piece of that that's in progress. That's the survey with foster parents. And soon as Fountain Works completes that, we will have that to you. What I would like to do is introduce the members of the task force before I begin the presentation. In the first row, left to right, Carla Feer, Mayor DePifanio, Captain Katie McMahon. In the second row, left to right, Mrs. Laura Jollis, Mr. Bill Morrison, and Ms. Jean Campbell. I apologize for the delay in our getting our report to you, as the original timeline was December, but I think once you see the depth of our work, you will understand why it took us so long. I think it's appropriate to mention a few acknowledgments. First of all, Kelly Rush from Jobs and Family Services served as our secretary, and she and her team were putting the final touches on the report for you this morning, so they came in bright and early to help us with that. Dina Morsch from City of Fairfield took care of scheduling all of our meetings. We would like to thank the commissioners again, but more importantly, we'd like to thank the people of Butler County. The many people that came forward and gave testimony, formal and informal, and the many people that participated in our surveys. So we have a great deal of respect and appreciation for them. And also the other professionals in the county that provided testimony, and Bruce Jewett, who helped us with a number of items, including providing us information and access to the public systems. What I would like to do is move into the executive summary, which is on page 6 in your binder. You know, it became clear to us that the agency staff and community partners of the agency and the public at large have lost faith in the top management of the agency, the leadership offered by the board. Although the majority of the board members are dedicated, civic-minded citizens who generally care about Butler County children, they have, as a board, failed to hold the agency leadership accountable programmatically and financially. Their recent offering of a consulting contract to the now-resigned executive director and calling accelerated payment in the event that the board is disbanded displays a blatant disregard for the board's fiduciary obligation to the taxpayers of the county. And they have abrogated their responsibility of the agency oversight in favor of becoming advocates for the failed agency leadership team. We have four basic recommendations for the commissioners. The first is that the Children's Services Task Force unanimously recommends that the Butler County Commissioners merge the operations of Butler County Children's Services Board into the Butler County Department of Jobs and Family Services and hold that agency's leadership accountable for assuring the safety and nurturing of children under its care, strengthening families and supporting those who care for our children, and providing leadership to harness community resources to achieve these goals. Second recommendation that we have is that the Children's Services Task Force unanimously recommends that the Butler County Commissioners seek statutory authority, if necessary, to authorize the establishment of an independent ombudsman for children's services who reports directly to the county administrator, but who has unfettered access to children's services employees and records, and who is empowered to rectify mistakes made by the agency. The third recommendation that we have is it is the unanimous recommendation of the task force that the county commissioners assure that the county's children's services operations are audited once every 2 years, programmatically and financially. And lastly, our recommendation is, which is also unanimous, that the Children's Services Task Force recommending that the county commissioners not place a Children's Services levy on the ballot until the following conditions are satisfied. One, the agency leadership can demonstrate to the public that the agency has improved its stewardship of public funds and maximized the utilization of those funds for the protection of children. This will require a review of all positions above the level of line supervisor and any position that does not provide direct services to children or their families, and an evaluation of all individuals holding such positions. Two, the agency leadership has developed an accurate forecast of finances identifying the projected balance the year in which the levy expires. Three, that the agency leadership has developed an accurate forecast of expenditures and revenues for the year after the levy is set to expire. Four, the agency leadership has determined how much levy support is needed and when. There should be no assumption that the current millage is adequate or appropriate. The agency leadership can demonstrate how the levy funds will be targeted, which will require an honest and open discussion about finances. So those are our major recommendations to the commissioners. I would like to add that in our report, we also have other recommendations, but these are not necessarily ones that the commissioners need to act on. And I would just point out the final recommendation on page 25 under other recommendations, that the task force should be reconvened by agency leadership to receive a report of the agency's progress on implementing the recommendations contained herein. Within 60 days, the director should be required to produce a timeline and a list of issues for consideration by the task force. During quarterly meetings the first year, semi-annual meetings for the 2 years following, and as needed thereafter. We have gathered a wealth of information We think it would be inexcusable and unwise to ignore this information in the future. As task force members, we are dedicated to seeing better services being provided to our children and families, and we're not going to go away. And that's why we made that last recommendation, and let me tell you, that one came after a very thoughtful and purposeful deliberation. You know, one of the quotes in the John Steinbeck survey that struck me was, and I think this is our charge as citizens of the county, was that somebody had mentioned that we are committed to seeing an agency that embraces the community and a community that embraces the agency. And we think that needs to happen. And we think through our recommendations that this would be made possible. The last comment that I have to make, and I'd like to share this with you. When I was a classroom teacher, I used to tell students anything I put in writing was important, so you better pay attention to it. This is not original information. That importance piece goes for the report, but it also goes to this. As we went through this situation, I determined this to be a mess. And I have a piece here on mess management. And a mess is a system of interrelated problems. You can never understand a mess by breaking it apart into its component problems and analyzing them separately. When you do that, you lose the ability to see interrelationships among problems. A mess is much more than the sum of its individual parts. It is the product of these interactions. Since a mess is a system, you need complex, comprehensive systems approach to deal with it. Managing a system requires focusing on the interaction among the parts and not taking actions related to the individual parts. And a basic strategy for dealing with a mess is to see all the component problems within the context of the whole situation, explain or understand the whole situation, disaggregate by explaining the role or function of the parts within the whole situation, and restructure the whole situation by creating new interactions among various components. This is information taken from the Management in Small Doses, written by Russell Acuff. At this time, I would like to have the opportunity to have individual task force members make a few comments, and then we would take questions from the commissioners.
Certainly, Dan.
So, would any of you like to make comments?
Good morning.
Morning.
Having had some personal experience leading a children's services agency in another county, I understand how difficult children's services leadership is. Consequently, I did not enter into this assignment lightly and was particularly reticent to form opinions prematurely. But after considerable research, review, a lot of spirited and respectful debate with my peers, I fully support the recommendation that is in your report and ask that if you have any further needs or questions of us to please let us know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? No?
This has been a long road since the last time I spoke to you gentlemen. In this country, the United States of America, of which we happen by the grace of God to be citizens, we value freedom. At any point that the government removes freedom, it must be done with special care and diligence. The job we do at Children's Services is very difficult because it infringes on that freedom in significant and sometimes unchangeable ways. As I testified before you last fall, I do not believe that anyone should have been able to predict the tragedy that was about to occur to Marcus. The people of Butler County do not expect that the agency be perfect, to gaze at some crystal ball and see the future. They do, however, have every right to expect us to be open to scrutiny. even when that scrutiny challenges us in ways that are uncomfortable, causes us to be better than we thought we could be, ensures that we focus on our mission to keep children safe and preserve families, because these families are the bedrock of our society and the foundation on which the next generation of America stands. What we do is not a display of power, political or otherwise. Most families who have dealt with CSB understand the power the agency has. You cannot change families with power control. Our role is to teach and support families to meet their goals. If every conversation with a family began with, "What do you want to see happen next? And how can I help you achieve your goals?" our relationship with the community would become a healthy one, providing the platform our children need to succeed. I have been gravely disappointed by the administration, staff, and board. My friend Dan Hare, some liberty there, Dan, uses a tagline on his emails quoting Winston Churchill. "Courage is the first of human qualities, because it is the quality which guarantees all others." I hope, no, I pray, that as a result of this task force's efforts, we create a children's services agency that has true courage, that does not fear the difficult or critical, where families, staff, and our community welcomes the critical as a means of learning, or at least understands that divergent viewpoints are what it means to be a family in our Butler County, Ohio. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your all's placing me on this task force very much.
Mr. President?
Yes. I'm not sure if everyone's finished. Right.
I'm sorry. That was never mind. That's okay. Yeah.
Okay. Mayor Ron?
Good morning.
Morning.
I haven't prepared anything, but I also want to thank you for being part of this. It's been an emotional roller coaster. Over the years, I have served on numerous boards and commissions. I have never, ever served with a finer group than what I just served with here in the last 6 months. Under Dan Hare's leadership, Bruce Stewart's facilitating, and every member here, they've all been here for the right reason. We've had disagreements. We've never had our voice raised. We've never had any animosities. I've never been with a group that's worked in such a professional manner. I have cried. I've had nightmares, I'm sure as the other members have also, on testimony we have heard. I met with caseworkers. I met with foster parents as late as midnight because they were afraid of being seen, talking to anybody from the task force. I've cried with some of them. We had a young lady came to us in an open meeting, talked to us about her case. She's a mother. She passed up a picture of her 3-year-old son that was on life support at Children's Hospital. She followed that picture up with another picture of her 3-year-old son in a casket. I really believe that if the agency and these caseworkers would have been able to perform their duties in a proper manner, that some of these could have been averted. This young man, I feel, could have been averted. Dustin Johnson from Middletown, who died in a fire. And, of course, Marcus Faisal. If the agency had done their research and done the background on these foster parents, including Lifeway, and making sure of their qualifications, that beautiful child would be with us today, no question in my mind. It's been a tough situation because, as each of you, all of us, have friends and acquaintances on the board and also employed by the agency. But we as a task force had to make sure that we kept that out of our decisions. We had to make sure that we didn't worry about whose feelings we hurt. We didn't worry about whose toes we may have stepped on. We had to worry about the safety, welfare, and well-being of children. And that is we've been able to do. I plead with you to do the same thing and the tough decisions that you have facing you. As you'll see in your report, I met with Mr. Ed Shelton a couple weeks ago. I had heard that Ed is chairing a committee on disposing of the six buildings, school buildings that are going to be vacated due to new construction in Hamilton. And I asked Ed if we could have one of those buildings donated to the county, and that we could, and I'm not going to take time to go into all of it, but I would be glad to volunteer to work with Ed and come back with you, to you, with a presentation on how that could be used as a reception center for these children, and in some cases, parents of these children, before we just take them from a family and put them in a foster home in Sydney, Ohio, or wherever they may be sent. And I would be glad to continue to do that if it would be your desire. But as you make these tough decisions, please don't let personalities enter into it. Don't let friendships enter into it. If that happens, you start looking. There's nothing could be worse than taking a child with autism and confining him. That's horrible. But to take a child who has been dealt the hand that Marcus Faisal was dealt from the time he was born until the time of his demise, and for him to suffocate and be bound, nothing could be worse than that. And I hope that you keep that beautiful face in your minds as you make your decisions that help us get this thing corrected. Again, thank you for letting me be part of this.
Mr. President. Mr. Yes. Mayor, would that piggyback on what Maureen Noe was discussing with possibly?
Well, I think that what you're talking about is the Family Advocacy Center, which we're working on with United Way. We're partners right. with United Way.
Okay.
And, you may be talking about actually developing a foster home, which we can talk about.
Yeah, just very briefly, what I'm proposing is that if we can get one of these buildings donated to the county, and we can take our trustees from the jail, people who are doing community service work, there could be small apartments, there could be a dormitory, and when a child is taken from a home, when a caseworker goes to the home and feels the child has to go, if one of the parents is qualified to be there too, if one of the parents is abusive and the other isn't, you can take them in for a period of up to 90 days, which was my recommendation, and they could be living there together, and the child could still go to its regular school, and the mother or father could have parenting counseling, could have drug, alcohol counseling. It would be manned 24 hours a day. And for the children that had to be taken away from both parents, that child could also be put into that, like a dorm facility, while the parents was attempted to work, while the agency attempted to work with the parents to see if we could maybe bring them back instead of just yanking them away and taking them. And it gives a time for the kids to not have their family or their lives totally disrupted, but that they could also still be in their own school setting and so on. Now, I mean, it's a lot more complicated than that, and I don't want to take up all your time with this today, but I've talked with Ed extensively about it, and I would be glad to volunteer to go forward with that if you so desire.
Thank you. Well, we'll be talking to you about that.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else want to?
Just in conclusion, we have a profound respect for the people that want to deal with children in these situations. So while we are critical of parts of the agency, we understand the extremely tough job that the caseworkers have. It's probably a job that none of us would want. Also, in response to Commissioner Furman's question, that's similar to the Polanski situation out in San Diego, which is in Detective Redden's testimony, which is also in your report. So at this point in time, we're ready to entertain questions from commissioners, and how can we serve you at this point?
Well, before we get to questions with the commission, I just want to say on behalf of the commission that in accepting your report, that we thank all of you for your service to Butler County. I know that this has taken away a lot of time and energy from your everyday routines, and as commissioners, we are very grateful, and I'm sure as citizens of Butler County, grateful also. Your duty in charge was very serious, and By the looks of this report, by the volumes, it looks like you've taken it very seriously. And as we go through this report, I'd like to recommend to the commission that we take a week to look through this report and set up public hearings for next week. I'd like to also recommend that this report be available to the public, and I'm not sure
open
if we can
online
or if someone wants to get a hard copy of it. I guess we could use could do that as long as it doesn't get too burdensome. Online would probably be the best. But I've made a commitment to the board and Reverend Sloan that they have an opportunity to look at this report and to answer and to give input on this report, and this report should be made available to the board members. And if the commission agrees to, you know, a week from now that we have a public hearing, and the time can be determined by, you know, by us, whether in the morning or evening, I'd be available. But I think that makes sense as we try to go through this report and to look for the direction and the future direction of the agency, that we allow the board members to give input, the Children's Services board members give input, and to balance that from your report. There may be some agreements, there may be some disagreements. We need to have that input in order to make decisions. As it's been noted in the press and by our actions last Monday, we agree already with the first process of the recommendation to start the process of bringing the agency under new governance. So we are proceeding with that. We have a clock ticking, the 60 days, and then we have to make a final determination. But again, on behalf of this commission and the citizens of Butler County, thank you for your work, for your passion, your dedication, and your willingness. And very happy to hear that you're not going to go away. I would think that on days and occasions of going through this task force that you're saying, what did I do and why am I here? But so very happy that you're willing to stay with it. So many times in my 25 years of in public service that we have a task force report or a report, it gets put on a shelf and that's, you know, gathers dust. I'm happy to and would support the recommendation of reviewing this report with the agency and that aspect of the recommendation to look at how the agency is doing on a more thorough and scrutinized basis. So with that,
I do concur with your setting up with the public hearings, and I want to just give a heartfelt thanks to each and every member of the board for the job and the time that it's taken to do this job. I have, on many, many years, I have worked on the street and have seen so many of these cases up close, and I can imagine what you've heard and what you've dealt with, and it is heart-wrenching, and it's to do the job that you've done is commendable, and we definitely do appreciate it so much. Thanks, Dan.
Mike?
I want to also express my appreciation for all of you that served so ably and put so much time into the effort to generate this report. I know it's been under difficult circumstances at times. There was a concerted effort on the part of the, which was very troubling, on the part of the existing board and the top leadership of the Children's Agency to attack the task force work, to sabotage your work, to basically do everything they could to challenge your credibility and your work. And I, that response was frankly just unbelievable. Given what brought us to this moment of reviewing the process, and that as much as anything, that was the most disturbing to me. Rather than rolling up their sleeves and taking advantage, this was the first time when the our Jobs and Family Services agency made, with the commission's support, when we made monies available to do the most comprehensive review of foster parents, foster children, agencies that do work with the agency, and said, let's take a picture of what their attitudes are, what their feelings are, and I don't know of anything that would be more helpful than gathering information in a safe place where people could speak their mind without fear of reprisal than having that conversation with foster children and foster parents. And the idea that there was so much opposition from this board and from this agency to collecting information from the people that are the foundation of their work was, to me, the most troubling of all of the things that went on. They hired a professor from University of Cincinnati to attack your survey. I wish they would have sat down and said, how can we make this survey happen? They hired a political campaign consultant to Joe Bride to attack at every moment. I wish that they would have hired somebody to embrace the community. They've hired an attorney, very bright one, very expensive one, at Taft, Tennyson, Hollister, to figure out ways to block your access to the information you needed. I wish they would have hired a different attorney, which I could have provided them, that would have helped them make certain information available. So I want to not only thank you for your service, but point out that you served under the most difficult of circumstances. I also want to mention Bill Morrison, who's paid a very heavy price for his service on this task force. Presently, the agency is trying to put him in jail. I think that is absolutely outrageous. In this very room, last fall, the director, the chairman of the board, and the agency talked about what a great ombudsman you were, Bill. Well, little did you know, you were one report away from being a bad one. And the reaction to that report on a very controversial, difficult case, not talking about the substance of any of the decisions, but rather the process by which decisions were made. They're two very different things. Again, underscored what many of the staff, when they were allowed to speak their mind, one of the significant findings is their reluctance to offer ideas for feel that were inconsistent with the top management, that for fear of reprisal. You cannot have an organization that is effective in doing its work if the folks who are on the front lines delivering the service are afraid that if they say the wrong thing, they'll go in the penalty box, or worse, be fired. And so as I've watched you work, I'm also mindful of the difficulty of doing the job, aside from the hours that you put in, but also the difficulty of doing the jobs in the context of being attacked and the price that some of you are paying for that service. I also want to point out, and this piggybacks on what Commissioner Jolivet said, that this report shouldn't be put on the shelf to collect dust. Inside of this report is a report from David Osborne, his public strategies group, that is one of the most honored and respected strategist on improving the functioning of government in the country, wrote the book on reinventing government. That report went on the shelf. In fact, I believe during your testimony, the director of the agency said she had never been given that report and did not know about that report until the task force started its work. But I know Mr. Thompson took her a copy of the report the first week she was, even the week before she started work. And I also know that Jolynn Hurwitz from the Family and Children First Council gave her a copy of that report. There's another report in here that was collecting dust, and that was from the state auditor looking at many of the same issues. She was said that she was unaware of that report. That report, two other people also said they gave her that report. There are multiple reports at different times, but the common theme of these reports is a culture that breeds hostility and fear. And that culture starts to create a context in which decisions are made that ends up hurting people. Let me say the Marcus Faisal case. No one is suggesting that somebody should have had a crystal ball to say, well, gee, little Marcus is in fear. I mean, they're going to do some unspeakable act to this child. But in terms of the system, what we know are the system improvements that we didn't think of till after his death. Many of us didn't even know how they were dealing with those issues. We now know that had those system improvements been in place, and the Marcus Faisal death is an example of how the system ought to respond to tragedy. When we looked at the system, we found out that our agency was not reviewing the qualifications of foster parents who are being asked to serve our children in network homes. That was pretty amazing to some of us. We thought they were. Now, had we been doing that, one of the things we had discovered was the Carrolls lied on their exam, on their paper that they filled out, that they lied on it. They said they owned their home. They didn't own their home. Said they had a stable home. They didn't. They had moved in different places. That would have been a flag that was raised about the truthfulness of that family. Would that have kicked them out of consideration? Don't know. But that system being in place is something that will add another layer of protection for our children. The most important thing we learned is that there are states, and our state has the capacity to track, as we do with gun owners, contact with the police departments. We do know this. Had we had that system in place where the domestic violence encounter that the Carrolls had with the police agency just a couple weeks before Marcus's death, had that system been in place, Marcus would be alive. We do know that because I can't imagine a child protection system that would allow a child to be in a home where the police just came to deal with a domestic violence encounter. Now, we have the capacity to track that. We do that with people who have concealed carry permits. The Attorney General has a database in place. I mention that to say, you know, every time you mention the Marcus Faisal could be alive, they think, oh, you're thinking we did the wrong thing. It's not so much they did the wrong thing as that the culture did not push the system to constantly review itself, as Bill was talking about, asking the question, hey, can we do better? What system changes can we make that'll enable us to do better? Tragically and unfortunately, children are going to be hurt by evil people. I don't care what your system does, how hard it tries, there are going to be children that are hurt, and some, regretfully, will be murdered. And that, unfortunately, is a reality of our time. And you can't expect caseworkers and child protection agencies to be clairvoyant. But what we should expect from the system is to be a learning organization. And when those tragedies occur, to reach out and say, has anybody got some ideas on how we can do this better? And welcome those folks into the fold, as opposed to circling the wagons and being so defensive that you can't have a discussion of how to do better, because implicit in that is you did something wrong. I think that's the biggest cultural breakdown that I've seen in this whole agency, is that we can't have a discussion about how we can do better, because if I have that discussion, I somehow communicate that I wasn't good enough. And that's not what it communicates at all, in my opinion. It communicates that I want to be better. And I may not have been as good as I could be in this instance, but I want to be better. And you can't be better unless you create a culture that invites everyone inside and out of the system to bring ideas on how you can do better. And that's the one theme that runs through all these reports, the State Auditor's Report, the Public Strategies Group, Dave Osborne's report, is that this culture is hostile to the community, and it's hostile to people that are inside of it, who have ideas to improve it that run counter to the, you know, the kind of the policy du jour about where they are at a given point in time. There are lots of things that they've done well. You point out in your report about the training. Their training program, I can tell you, is one of the best around. They have made dramatic progress in an area that's close to my heart, and that is on information technology. They've done some really good stuff in information technology. And they just, I just saw a press release or a statement put out that they claim they've reduced the number of foster days from 300 and some average when a child comes into the foster system down, I think, to 152 days. Those things are really good for kids and families. But having said that, there are lots of things that can be done better, and you identify them in the report. And I want to conclude by saying this. The report, most of the attention, I suspect, in this report is going to go to the governance issue. The contacts I had with folks involved in the board and the agency, virtually the only thing they wanted to talk about was, well, what are they going to recommend on the governance thing? Frankly, the governance question, and I've said this all along, is the least of my concerns. I'm more concerned about the other stuff that you identify in the report. Detective Redden, Captain Laney, and Richard Wexler, and some other folks that came before you had some specific programmatic and policy recommendations that will make children safer if they're adopted. The only reason that I'm connected and interested in the governance question right now is this. We've been down this road before. We cannot get this place on the right path. And the only way we may be able to get there is to do what we started on Monday, is to just go in there and just take it over long enough to simply say, this mess is going to be cleaned up. The insanity is going to stop. The game playing is going to stop. You are not an island unto yourself. We are going to recreate the leadership that creates a culture that does embrace the community and invites the community to come in. And that, to my, and we've tried for 20 years, I've been working with this. We've tried everything imaginable. We've fired boards. We brought in directors that we thought were, you know, the Messiah. You look at the paperwork on this director and you look at all the badges she's got. You think, well, my gosh, we finally got somebody that has all the right badges. And it comes down to the same thing every time, and that's, What are the philosophy? What is the philosophy of the director? What is the philosophy of the board about this thing, this culture of whether it's more open or less open? And when we're talking open, I'm not talking about, you know, putting out files to the public to review. We're talking about giving them to the people that are the object of the decision, letting them see their own files. An agency that won't let people see their own files that are so consequential in their lives is not open. And creating where you're constantly having that information scrutinized, that at first and foremost is a cultural issue. And that's been the constant failing of this organization throughout. With all the things they've done that are good, it gets buried in the clutter of a culture that shuts the doors, pulls up the drawbridge, buttons down the hatches, and simply says, the only time we want to engage the community is when we have a levy on the ballot. Then we love them. But once it's approved, we're going to go back into our cocoon and protect the agency from scrutiny. And that's bad business. It's bad for kids. Because here we are coming into a cycle where we have to go back to the public. And we have to say, you know, pay no attention to all those years that we treated you like crap. Pay no attention to all the things we did to insult and defend you. We want to reach into your pocket again. And that's just bad business, and it hurts kids. So I really, and Bill, again, I know you've really paid a price for your service. And I think what they're attempting to do to you is absolutely indefensible at every level. And I hope that as this thing evolves, that this commission stands behind you and with you. And and I appreciate your courage for toughing it out. Thank you.
Thank you. Dan, do you have anything else?
There are lots of recommendations in there under the other category, and on behalf of the task force, don't hesitate to contact us individually, and don't hesitate to contact us collectively, because we all have pieces in there that we are champions for, as Mayor Ron mentioned. So call us, and we'd be more than willing to sit down with you individually or collectively to discuss that, and we understand that there's a lot in there to consume. But I think,
and on the reverse of that, please feel free to call us also if there's something that, as we go through this, you say, "Hey, pay attention to, you know, some part of this."
I think you can please count on that,
because I got one call, so
we're not going away.
Good.
You know, we're not gonna. You know, we don't want the Osborne report to be lost. You know, to lapse of memory or anything like that. We want to keep this in front of people, so. We're committed to making this work.
Well, thank you very much. And again, thank all of you for your service to the county and the children of Butler County.
Again, thank you. Thanks for giving us the opportunity. And there were many nights when I didn't consider it an opportunity. but we were all dedicated to that mission.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. And again, like to, with the commission's approval, announce the public hearing for next Thursday at 9:30. That's okay, and we'll have it on the fourth floor of this building. And at that time, you know, hopefully we'll have a chance to go through this report and to look forward to the current board giving us some input. Hopefully they'll be willing to do that, because I think as we get to the decision-making process, we need to have all information. As you talk about, Mike, that information is so most important with regards to the livelihood of the children, it's also important that we have all the information as we go forward. Right. So with that, is there anyone else who would like to address commission on any other matter? Yes.
For the record, my name is Ronica Dillingham. I'm the executive director of Mental Health Matters, and as many of you know, a candidate for county commissioner.
Just wanted to come in today. I've been actively involved in the foster care reforms that are going on in Columbus, as well as what's been going on here in Butler County. And I really just wanted to commend all three of you for the decision that you made last week. I know Commissioner Furman had originally supported the board, and it's very obvious based on the motion he made last week that he's taken time to study this and to really care about what's going on here in Butler County. And Commissioner Furman, I just want to thank you and commend you for making the motion that you made last week to restructure the Children's Services Board, and to thank all three of you for doing the same. So, also, Commissioner Fox, when you were bringing up the LEAD system with the committees that are going on up in Columbus, the way it's not necessarily the Attorney General's committee, but it is in place. The Ohio Department of Job and Family Services has a database in place, and the OLEG said they could merge that with the LEAD system, so you'd have that real-time access immediately. And that's something that doesn't require a law change. It's something that doesn't require anything but the names being entered into the LEAD system, either by a sheriff or merged from the database that's already in place up in Columbus with the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. So something we are working on with the Attorney General's committee up in Columbus, and something I urge you to continue to fight for as well, because it's one of the fixes that is the easiest to accomplish with what's going on. So I appreciate you bringing that up, and
thank you.
Appreciate everything that you guys have done.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the commission on any other issue? Yes, ma'am.
Morning.
And Debbie?
I'm from Rochester Hills Communities, and I've been trying to reach Mr. Fox for months. We have a landlord that we are having some very serious problems with. I've brought in pictures. I've brought in papers.
What community are you from? I'm sorry.
Rochester Hills Mobile Home Park.
Okay.
We are having some very serious issues out there. We have fraud that has been committed by our landlord through Children's Services, Butler County Job and Family Services, my church, other churches, St. Raphael's, and I have documentations to back what I have. I have worked very hard to do this. I'm very nervous. I'm not very good at public speaking.
Well, Debbie, we appreciate you coming in. Unless you want to go all through it, Derek is offered to sit down with you and to talk about your issues with regards to the mobile home park. And if you'd like to do that instead of,
I
know you're nervous, but be happy to sit down with you.
Yeah, because I talked with office this morning, and they also told me, you know, because she's not listening to the health department, I brought water for you to see what we're drinking. You know, we just can't live like this no more. This is ridiculous to be taken over.
Yeah, Representative Fusker's office present.
Sure. I appreciate it, and I'm sorry.
In the Department of Health.
You got it. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Just right after.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good morning, Commissioners. Bob Krieger, 1907 Crooker Road. You had a very serious discussion today. I've got another comment on a serious area here, and I want to thank you for having the courage in the previous meetings to put on the levy for increasing the betterment of the emergency 911 system. As you remember, when I spoke for the levies and that, I said it was for me. Well, February 5th of this year, I found out it was for me. Driving and having a stroke is no fun. Furthermore, finding that you're lost because of the anxiety and the condition, and not able to communicate your location, is even more frustrating. And this is going to implement, and I'm urging the expedient implementation of the cell phone locating system. I was a prime example of that. I was in an intersection I traveled through daily and could not recognize where I was at, needing emergency medical help. Very frustrating. The compliments to the 911 dispatcher. He did everything he could, and I could tell I was giving him anxiety trying to find me. By the stroke and luck of God, somebody stopped because of where my car was parked, and I could locate where it was at. I urge you to continue your support on improving the communications and getting this through. Derek, I know I talked with you on the funding of the other issue, and then I realize the location of the 911 system on the cell phone is another issue, but it needs to be integrated and needs to be gotten in there for the safety, not only of myself, but for any citizen that has it, because it affects each and every citizen we have, that communication system. The funding, the support, and the actual implementation of the system is extremely necessary, not for the police, not for the fire, but for the citizens. We need it for our protection. Mike, it's good to see you back again. Thank you.
Nice to see you. Glad to seem to have recovered.
What is the status of the 911 thing?
I can't give you right now, but it's in process.
My name is Joetta Street. I would like to, first of all, thank the commission and the task force team for some work that they had done for me. I apologize for what Mr. Morrison is going through. My heart is with him every day. I do appreciate, though, what you have done and the findings that were done. In my case, I would mostly like to say that my child, with the findings that he has made that come out, my child has still not been returned. My child is still not in my home. And I would appreciate it if the commissioners, whomever, could help me on this, because my child was taken out of my home, and based upon the investigation that was done, we know the child was removed for no reason. So I would like to thank everybody for their time and for everything that they've done for me. And I just hope that you guys make the right decision throughout all of this, because the complete board needs to be removed. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Donnie Buttry, and this young lady happened to be a real good friend of mine. And I'd like for you to think today, if it was somebody took your child out of your home, no difference in if it was, they would have took a gun, they used, didn't use force, but they used the law that they had willingly there, about like taking a gun and taking force and going into your home. And it seemed like nothing's been done about it. I don't know all that went down, but I do know that I know the home and the family, and I was around the little girl that was taken a lot, and I never seen her mistreated or anything like that. And they've got other children that was left in the home. Why didn't they take them? So whenever you stop and think about this situation, yet it's still going on, and the little girl is not back home with her mother. So this is something we need to take and look at. Whenever you look at all of this that's happened, I thought of a little boy that was killed. And I like what this young man said. He would have probably still been alive if they'd have done their job that they were supposed to do. They were slacked in doing their job. And this is what you pay people for. And if they don't render the service that you pay them for, you shouldn't pay them and you shouldn't have them. We need to consider today this girl, a mother without her daughter and a daughter without the mother, being taken by force. You listen to me today. If it was your child, what would you want? God bless you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address commission on any topic? Not. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Gallaudet?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you very much for attending.